Turning to Genesis chapter 12 for a scripture reading this morning. We're going to read from verse 1 of Genesis chapter 12. The book of Genesis chapter 12 and reading from verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, he said unto Sarah his wife, Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass, when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. And the princes also Pharaoh saw and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken unto Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen, and he asses and men servants and maid servants, and she asses and camels. The Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, She is my sister, so I might have taken her to be my wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just unite in a word of prayer. Our gracious and our loving God, we come to thee at the end of our meeting, we're conscious again of our deep need of thee to meet with us. O God, speak today. Cause thy voice to be heard in the midst. And our God, as thou didst speak to Abram so long ago, O God, even in our hearts, may we perceive the leading and guidance of God in our lives. Bless and be with us now, we'd ask of thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. In Genesis chapter 12, we have the beginning of one of the greatest stories in the Bible, the Abram's walk of faith. One of the greatest men in history has got to be Abraham. He is the progenitor, the spiritual progenitor of three religions, of Judaism, of Christianity, and Islam. His name when he was born was Abram, which means the High Father, but it was changed by God to Abraham which means the father of a multitude. And that certainly is what he was. He is known in the Bible as the friend of God and the father of the faithful. He comes at a time when the flood had destroyed the corrupt civilization that had been before. But God had promised Adam way back in the beginning of time that his seed, the seed of the woman rather, would bruise Satan's head. And the promise of the Messiah had to be fulfilled in the world. And now God sets his eye upon this man away down in Ur of the Chaldees. And God calls him out to be his servant, calls him out to be a man who would be in the line of the Messiah. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, the Lord said to Abram, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." It is a promise that is repeated many times in the Word of God. It is the covenant promise. And God was going to bless the whole world through the seed of this man. And he was going to give a mighty redeemer from the seed of this man. And isn't it amazing to think that God could take this one man, and God could set his love upon this man, and God could work in the heart of this man to make him into a mighty blessing in this world in which we live. We still remember Abraham right down to this day as the friend of God and the father of the faithful. But I want you to notice that God takes out raw material. When he finds Abram at the start, he is very far from God and very far from being a father of the faithful. But I want you to see how God takes him out and God molds him into a man of faith. In the great gallery of the heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11, we read of the faith of Abraham. It says that by faith Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, and so on. It goes on to speak about the faith of Abram. Abram's claim to fame is his faith. He's a man of faith, the father of the faithful. Now I wonder what the summary of your life would be if this was to be the end of your days and God was to write a message above your life, a small summary, a sentence in order to summarize what your life has been. What would he say about you? He said of Abram, despite all his faults and failures in his earlier life, that he was a man of faith. A man of faith. Now I wonder, do we have that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we living according to that faith? Are we living as if we know that we're going to face the Lord Jesus one day and we're going to have to give an account of ourselves and what we have done and what we have not done? As we stand before God on the day of judgment, what will God say about you? I wonder what he'll say about me. But I want you to notice that God took this man, the raw material, and molded him into a man of faith. God took Abram and put him into his training school. And I want us just to, very briefly, by way of introduction to the life of Abram we're going to look at, I want us to see how God trains this man. We're going to take something of an overview of the life of Abram just here today. And the first thing I want you to see is how God discovered his man. Look in Genesis chapter 11 and verses 26 to 28. And you'll notice there that there is a summary of his forebears. We have mention of Abram's father, Terah, and his two brothers, Nahor and Haran. Verse 28 tells us of the land of their nativity. It was Ur of the Chaldees. We also know that the family of Abram was called out of Ur of the Chaldees. They were to leave Ur of the Chaldees. If you look in Genesis chapter 21 and verse 1, it makes that very clear. It says, now the Lord, or chapter 12 rather, in verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. In other words, God had called Abram a long time in the past. Here he was at this time in Haran, but the Lord says, it says, the Lord had said, get out of thy country, leave your kindred, leave your family, leave what is familiar, and go where I want you to go. And the book of Hebrews tells us that he went out not knowing whither he went. He had a walk of faith. Now I want you to realize what it meant for Abraham to go out at the call of God. I want you to think about his circumstances when he got this call to go out and to leave behind all that was before. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 2, we find something significant about the place that God was calling Abram out of. Joshua chapter 24, and look at verse 2. It says there in that portion of scripture, and Joshua said unto the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abram, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. So when God called this man at the start, he was an idolater. He was a man who worshipped false gods. In 1921, or 1923 rather, the archaeologists discovered Ur of the Chaldees. It's another one of those instances where men beforehand had said it didn't exist. But then they discovered it, the great ziggurat of Ur of the Chaldees. A ziggurat is sort of a rudimentary form of a pyramid. And this ziggurat was dedicated to the worship of the moon god. And then there was a lesser one dedicated to Ningal, his wife, the wife of the moon god. So this was a society that worshipped the moon and the stars and the heavenly bodies and so on and so forth. And yet God made his choice. Out of those people, he chose Abraham. Now it wasn't his background that made God choose him. It wasn't that he was any different from any of the other people that were there. We think of how he wasn't even the oldest in the family, because his brother Haran was 60 years older than he was. So it wasn't that he was the eldest. It wasn't that he was from a particularly godly background, because he was from a heathen background. Why did God fix his attention and his love upon Abram? It was all of grace. It was grace. But God chose him out. And remember that when God chose him out, he was 75 years of age. Now there are some of you, maybe, and you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm past the time of training and I'm past the time of change in my life. But you know, God chose out Abram and put him in the training school when he was 75 years of age. It wasn't that he was a young man or anything like that. God chose him out 75 years of age. But God chose him and changed him. Because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. And when God called Abram, he changed Abram. But not only do you notice his circumstances, they were circumstances of idolatry and so on. But look at his comfort. Now you don't see this actually in the Bible, but we are drawing from what the archaeologists found when they found Ur of the Chaldees. In 22nd century, or yes, 22nd century BC, Ur of the Chaldees, it was a thriving civilization. Sometimes we get the impression about Ur of the Chaldees and these early settlements that they were very rudimentary. The textbooks will tell us about the cavemen and so on. And there were cavemen who went out from the civilizations and lost their civilization. That's what happened to them. But Ur was a thriving civilization. The buildings that Abram would have known were brick buildings. They were baked or burnt brick. They had two-story villas with reception rooms, living rooms, private rooms, a kitchen, a concealed lavatory, and even a private chapel. And that's the kind of civilization that God was calling Abram out of, to leave. He was to leave his old gods, he was to leave the comfort of that place. And Hebrews 11, as we said, says he went out, not knowing whither he went. You know, sometimes God has to take us out of the comfort zone. You know, there are a lot of people who will not go out to serve the Lord because it might take them out of their comfort zone. They don't want to come to Christ because it might take them out of the comfort zone. You have to come away from the things that you're used to. You have to come away from the circumstances that you're used to. And the devil whispers in your ear, oh, there'd be too much change. You're too old for change. But God changed Abram when he was 75 years of age. And he went out at the call of God. And it was the best thing that he ever did. Oh yes, he left behind the comfort. He left behind everything else. But he went out and he served God and God blessed him. By faith, Abram, it says, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Now the best thing that you should do with God is obey him. Obey him what he says. Obey his word. Obey what he has laid down in the scriptures. Obey his precepts. Serve him with all your heart. I was reading about Dr. Stephen Alford, and Dr. Stephen Alford's brother got saved later on in life. And he, of course, they both were brought up by missionaries, but Stephen Alford was the pastor of Calvary Baptist Chapel in New York City. And he had the privilege of leading his brother to the Savior. But later, a wee bit later, this brother got sick and he was in hospital. He was very gravely ill. And his thought turned to the Lord and he came to Christ there in the hospital bed. This was the time that he was saved, actually. But you know, as the illness progressed and he was going downhill, he sent for his brother and Stephen Alford went up to see him. And the man was greatly disturbed. And Stephen Alford began to assure him, no, you've come to Christ now. You know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. You have a home in heaven and you don't need to be afraid to die. But Richard Alford turned to his brother and he said, Stephen, you don't understand. I know I'm saved now. I know I'm going to heaven. But he says, it's not that I'm afraid to die, but he says, I'm ashamed to die. Now, it would be an awful thing if we were to approach the hour of our death and be ashamed. Well, you might be saved today. You might know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you're ashamed to go out and meet the Savior. Ashamed of the things that you have done and the things that you've not done. Here was a man, and God discovered him right down there in Ur of the Chaldees and called him out. But he obeyed. He obeyed. And that's what God calls us to do. To obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. So notice how God discovered his man. But then I want you to see how God detached his man. He detached him from the things that he had known. And look at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. So the call of God to Abram was to leave behind. It was a call to separate. Now, his land, the Ur of the Chaldees, was a heathen civilization. It was a land in which the gods of the moon and the stars and so on were worshipped. So God says to Abram, get out. Get out of there. Get out of the world. Leave behind your family. Leave behind the things that would tie you down. Leave behind those things that would drag you back into the idolatry and the living that you've been used to. Leave them behind. God calls us to a life of separation. Separation from the world. Separation to those things that would call us back into the world. Those things that the devil would send to get us to like the world and to hold on to the world. No, God calls his people to a life of separation. And whatever it is, Christian, that you put in front of the things of God, that you put in front of serving God with all your heart, if you have no time to serve God and you're giving your time to other things, then God says, leave the other things behind. Serve me. You know, there are standards of holiness, and there are standards of righteousness, and there are things that are wrong, and God has a standard of honesty, and God has a standard of integrity, and God has a standard of chastity and modesty and so on in his word. And Christians need to leave behind the world's standards, and we need to go to God's standards. God detached of man. He said, leave behind the old religion. Leave behind the old way of life. We have to leave behind the old apostasy of this day and generation. We have to leave behind the liberalism of this day and generation and the idolatry of this day and generation. And we have to leave behind the worldliness of this day and generation. And our call is to separation unto God. We notice his call, but look at his compromise. Because where is Abram found here in Genesis chapter 12? God had called him to go to a land that I will show thee. That land, of course, was Canaan. But he wasn't in Canaan. He was in Haran. And it's interesting, actually, that Haran, if you were to make the journey in those days, is probably about halfway between Canaan and Ur of the Chaldees. He'd gone halfway. But the thing was that when you got to Haran, there was the river, the great river. And you had to cross the river. And when you crossed the river, you were, as it were, burning your bridges. There was no way. It was too difficult to come back. This was a difficult crossing. And once you got over the river, it seemed as if you were saying farewell to the old life. That's it. That's an end. No going back now. I'm going forward with God. There's no going back. Abram went as far as Haran. And there he stopped. He just stopped short of saying, well, this is it. Full surrender to God. Full surrender to the Lord. I'll just stay here. I could go back. Well, I don't want to go back, but I'll just go halfway. You notice also that he was called to leave his family. And he didn't totally do that. Because he brought his father with him and he brought Lot, his nephew, with him. So he brought part of the family with him. And obviously, here he was. And he was compromising. It's very easy to compromise. It's very easy to go halfway. And we have so many compromising Christians today. Oh, we have left the world and we have come to Christ and we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, but we have that little connection with the world as well and the things of the world, and we'll not just go the whole way. No, God says, go the whole way. Touch not the unclean thing. Come out and stand with me. Kneel your colours to the mast and be mine today. That's what God calls us to do. Absolute dedication. Absolute dedication. So here is Abram, and he's in the halfway house. Maybe you're in the halfway house today. You've come out, but you just haven't come the whole way. So we notice how God detached his man. But then look at how God developed his man. Look at chapters, well really you're covering chapters 12 to 21 here, but you notice how God begins to work in the life of Abraham here. And in many ways I'm sort of assuming here that we know the story of Abraham to some degree and measure. But God began to teach Abraham to trust in him. First of all, God taught Abraham to trust in him for his provision. He learned that fellowship with God is better than the material things of this world. Now, that was taught in the life of Lot, his nephew. Do you remember how that when they came to the land of Canaan, that Lot had his herds and Abram had his herds, and the land was too straight for them, and the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abram began to fight over the pasture land. And Abram said to Lot, you know what we'll do? We'll separate. He says, you take your choice of the land. And he said, wherever you want to go, you take your flocks there and I will have my flocks and I will take the other part of the land and we'll divide it amongst us. And we're told that Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw the well-watered plains. And he said, that's where I want to go. And he went down into the well-watered plains. But Lot never thought that down in those plains were the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he never thought about his family. And he never thought about the influence that there would be down in the well-watered plains. But he took his family down there and he pitched outside the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. It wasn't long until he was in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then the next thing was that he was an official in the city gate of the city of Sodom. And then God saw the wickedness of those cities and the awful sin that was in the cities. And God said, I'm going to destroy the cities. But he couldn't destroy Lot because Lot was his child. And he warned Lot to get out. But you know, Lot left most of his family in Sodom. But God said to Abram, when Lot left him, God said, Abram, lift up now thine eyes and behold the plain to the east and to the west, to the north and to the south. And God says, no matter about what Lot has chosen, I give all this land to you. And Abram dwelt on the mountains with God. It seemed to be the less favored land. God blessed Abram there. And in the end, Abram's seed inherited all that land. All that land. And Abram seemed to have the worst part of the deal. Lot seemed to have the well-favored part of the country. And he was down where he thought he would make it rich. You know, in the end, Lot lost everything. Lost everything. He lost his flocks and his herd. He lost his family. But God blessed Abram. And God was teaching Abram, don't walk by sight. You think that that will be the best for you. But it's only the best when you walk with me. So God was teaching Abram about his provision. And then God was teaching Abram about his protection. Because we read in Genesis chapter 14 about a time when Abram was in danger. We read about the kings of the nations and they get together and they go down and they capture Lot and they capture so much of the land. And Abram here is facing the great conspiracy of the nations. Chedorlaomer, the great king of nations and so on. And he's facing these great allies. And Abram sets out to take his revenge upon them and to take Lot back. You know, it was a daunting task. But you look at what God says to Abram in Genesis chapter 15 verse 1.
as he was fearing
what was going to happen, God says, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And God was saying, Abram, I'm your protector. I'm the one that will safeguard you. You've gone out against these nations. You've made enemies of these nations. It would seem that by your own strength you can't stand. You don't have enough men to stand against these nations. But Abram, I am thy shield. I'm the one who will protect you. Have you learned that lesson? Well, there have been times when you have been in distress, but you have learned that the Lord has said to you, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. And Abram learned that lesson. Not only did he learn about God's provision and about God's protection, but he learned also about God's promises. Genesis 15 and verse 3, he complains. Remember, God had given him the promise here in Genesis 12 that in his seed will all the nations of the earth be blessed. But in Genesis chapter 15, it's many years later now, and he complains. He says, I have no seed. Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, he says. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And Abram now is a very old man, and he was worried he would never have a son. He was long past the age when he would have a son, and so was his wife. And Abram's faith lapsed. And he thought to himself, there's no way now that God's going to fulfill his word. How is God going to do this? And in the energy of the flesh, Sarah gave her handmaiden, Hagar, to Abram. And there was a child born of them. And he was trying to do it in the flesh. He was trying to bring about the promises in the flesh. But God said, no, I can do it. I can give Sarah a child. I can do it. And there, in her old age, Sarah conceived and had the child. It was the one that God had promised. And God was showing Abram, even when it seems humanly impossible, and when the day is hard, and when it seems as if nothing can be done, I answer the promise. I fulfill my word. And isn't he the same God, the God of promise today? He's given you a promise. He'll fulfill it. It might seem as if it's impossible. It might seem as if it's no way humanly possible that it can happen. But God can and will fulfill his promises. So God was, he was developing his man. God was fitting his man. God was developing his faith. You know, that's what God does with us. There's Abraham. And you think there he had to face these nations. He had to have times when it looked as if he'd got the worst deal with Lot and so on. There was the strife that was taking place in this family and so on and so forth. But God was using all those adverse circumstances to teach Abraham. God was molding him. And you have faced adverse circumstances in your life. And you have faced difficulties that you didn't know why they were happening, why they were taking place. But it is the hands of the potter molding and shaping. And God wants you to learn the lesson. So we notice how God developed his man. But one more thing, I want you to see how God displayed his man. Because really that's what you have in the story of Genesis chapter 22. Here is Abram now, and he's very old, and he has a son, Isaac. And God says to him in Genesis 22 and verse 2, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Now, what would you have done with a command like that? Here's the son, the one son that God has promised. Here is the fulfillment of God's word. And here comes the word of God. Take your son, your only son, and take him to the Mount of Moriah and sacrifice him there. What would you have done? Well, Abram by this stage has learned to trust God. I want you to hear what the Bible says about Abram when he heard that call. It says, and Abram rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Abraham obeyed. Abram had learned now to trust God implicitly. When it seemed as if this was the hardest, you can imagine there when he took that knife to plunge it into the breast of his dearly beloved son, the son that he had longed for throughout his whole life. But Abram believed God. He believed that even God could raise that son back up again from the dead. And really in the figure, that's exactly what happened, because God had the ram caught in the thicket. He was the substitute. And really in his mind, Abraham had given Isaac to God. And God was giving him back. And that's the great symbol of resurrection. I wonder, do you depend on God that much? I wonder, do I depend on God that much? Would I believe God like that? You know, there's a visitor some years ago who watched a potter out in a large field of clay on the outskirts of Bethlehem. And the visitor saw the potter detach the clay from the lump, a piece of clay from the lump. They saw the potter pound the clay on the table. And then he saw the potter wet the lump of clay. And he saw the potter apply the pressure of his hands on the turntable. And when he was finished, he cut the clay from the turntable and displayed his wares on a rough workbench. You know, that's what God does with us. He takes the rough piece of clay from the ground. He detaches us from the ground and puts us on the turntable, and applies the pressure where it's needed. And then at the end of the day, he displays the finished product. Well, men and women, are we anywhere near being finished? Are we anywhere near the stage that Abraham had got to, where he believed God implicitly? I'd have to say, in many ways we're not. Oh, that God would shape us and mould us into what he wants us to be today. And may we be pliable in his hands. May there be no rough places there. May God take us and use us as vessels unto honour for himself. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake.